Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Well, it's been a weird week. I've been sick for most of this week. So just cutting to the chase, everything that happened last week feels like a fever dream. And low-key, I think that the way I saw it with all of the beautiful technical experiences of this event kind of contributed to that. And I feel insane about all of it. So I'm excited to talk.
Oh, yeah. And I think I just watched the streams way after the fact because I was traveling last weekend for the whole thing. So, but from what I have heard, it was kind of a fever dream for everyone and not just people who had a real fever. So
it's weird. Last week was also Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. So I was like doing things around that. It was spooky on all fucking fronts. We are talking about Skate Canada. We're in week two of the Grand Prix. It already feels like I've always lived here and we've never stopped being in the Grand Prix. And things are happening, question mark?
They are. It was a particularly interesting event for the women. And before we get into this event, I want to just say really quickly, because in regard to something that happened after we recorded our Skate America episode, like literally a very hearty fuck you to anybody who says anything to any skater about their body.
Yo, like, can at we all, real quick?
But yeah. Let alone in person. Because whoever tried it with Amber Glenn and Caitlin, Jean-Luc, that's my last name.
Caitlin Jean-Luc. Caitlin of Jean-Luc.
It's like a patronymic, but you take the name of your male partner. That's weird. That's like Handmaid's Tale, but make it Ice Dance. Caitlin Hawaiik. Oh my God.
First of all, we said it on Twitter. I'm saying it again, on the off chance that this person is listening. First of all, fuck you. Secondly, this is an open invite. You can come over and talk and justify yourself. I know you're not gonna because you're full of shit. But in case anyone missed it, basically what happened was there was an audience member at Skate America who, under the pretense of taking pictures with several skaters, commented on their bodies and weight and whatnot, which is first of all fucking insane, and secondly, how do you approach a human being like that? I can't, aside from it being mean and insane and just like terrible, I can't wrap my mind around like approaching another human being and saying anything about how they look or carry themselves. It feels insane to me.
Right? Like, there's so many layers of wrongness to it. Because first of all, like, don't comment on someone's body, like, ever. I can't really think, unless they asked and you're, like, their physician. I don't know. But, like, just don't do it. And mostly I hear about that sort of thing happening in that fashion of, like, I'm giving you advice, I'm just trying to help, from, like, a family member or someone. So it's even weirder, like, if that's something you do, first of all, don't. But second of all, like, why did you think it was okay to do it to a stranger? And third of all, like, why do you think you know better than people who have, like, skated internationally and won medals and have entire teams of people who know them very well? Like, you think you're like the first person to think of this magical idea and you can't wait to tell them? Like, shut up.
I'm trying to like divorce myself from like the personal human experience of having a body part of it.
God, me too at all times.
Like, truly 24/7. But like, in this case, if it were any other sort of advice, if it were, hey, when you're taking off on your loop, I think you should hold on the back edge 0.2 seconds longer, or like whatever the fuck else. Even if it was something else like that, even if it was, I don't think you look good in green, you should wear purple more often, like whatever the fuck. Why do you think you know better than people who are competing internationally? Like, who the fuck are you? It's fucking baffling to me.
And I wonder how often that happens. Like, next time we interview a skater, we're going to have to ask, like, do people give you unsolicited technique advice? Because that, I can definitely see that happening too. But like, that is also bananas to me. I mean, I think anybody telling anyone how to do their job while they're doing it or at all is
always
just
insane.
Ridiculous to me. But like, yeah, I think, anyway, don't do that. I have a feeling that nobody in our listening audience would, just because you all seem like wonderful people, as far as I can tell. You all have spectacular taste.
But still.
So, yeah.
If you know a person who knows a person, let them know that we said fuck you.
Yeah, and I think I really appreciate that Caitlin and Amber both took the moment, that moment, to be like, I have struggled, and these are the things that I have struggled with, and like, you need to think about that, because they certainly didn't owe that to anybody. If they wanted
absolutely
to not say anything, that's totally valid and within their right and to just move on. But the fact that they took a minute to kind of educate people, like, as a female skater, this is the kind of things that we think about. We have to think about, like, should I show my shoulders in this dress, like, the same way everybody else thinks that if they're wearing a dress. So, yeah, I don't know. Good for them, and I'm sorry it happened, and I catch these hands, anyone who does that again.
Like, literally, it's on fucking sight.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going off to, like, a more positive tangent, I just want to, how should I say this? I want to confess to a sin, which is that I do very much pretend to give people technical advice when I'm watching in my own house. Now, mind you, I would never do it in real life, but if you happen to be watching figure skating with me, there's a lot of like, are we gonna be doing this spin, homeboy? And like,
oh my god,
look at this fucking back tree turn, like your back outside tree turn looks shaky or like whatever the fuck. Like, I love pretending that I know better than they do, but it's always in jest. I would never walk up to anyone on any level and be like, actually, I have advice for you. Like,
no,
this is,
and
not
like,
our
we,
job.
That's our, I mean, that's what this podcast is pretty much, even like just with regard to like the artistic side of things, us being like, well, actually, you should have done this and blah, blah, blah. But like, even then, like, heavy caveat, like, we don't know what it's like to be up there competing at the Grand Prix. So we're certainly not saying like, you know, we know better. And I would certainly, I would never say anything on this podcast that I wouldn't say to a skater's face, which is true. But that's only in the scenario if I was confronted, because I wouldn't voluntarily say any of it to anyone's face. Because if I meet a skater and I'm not like interviewing them, the only thing I'm voluntarily saying to their face is like, you're amazing, I love you, keep doing an amazing job.
Even like the good shit, like even when we go into detail for example, like someone's dress looking gorgeous, I wouldn't walk up to fucking Amber Glenn like, oh my god, your fucking like new long program dress is so good because it reminds me of this and this and she knows what the dress looks like. She doesn't need me to say that. She doesn't need to hear it from me. Like, I feel like it's the same thing as like stage dooring at a theater like performance or something. Those people are tired and they want to go home, and all you gotta say is like, thank you and keep up the good work and like congrats on your performance. And that's it.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk shop, even if it's not like tied to, you know, a lifetime of insecurities and society's pressures on people. I just don't think anyone really wants to talk shop after a skate. And like, if they're gracious enough to say hi to fans, I think that just, you know, hi, how are you? Congratulations is probably like a safe bet.
I know we've kind of wrapped up. I just can't get over. Imagine pulling anyone in for a selfie and just lecturing them as it's happening. Like, doing it. Both of us have sisters and we're close to our sisters. And those are people we've known our entire lives. I can't imagine doing that to my sister, like pulling her up for a picture and just being like, by the way, here's some life advice. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's insane.
I just got so sad thinking about that. That's, like, so awful. I would never do that to my sister.
Like, even just, like, conceptualizing it, I'm like, I need to text my sister and apologize.
I know, like, I'm just texting my sisters unsolicited, like, do you know how beautiful you are?
Like, do you know you're perfect? And I'm so sorry that I was mean the one time in my brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, fuck you if you're mean to people, skaters or not. And
that's
having
a really hot
that,
take. It's a really scalding take.
Yo, it's fucking unbelievable to me that we're basically a week into like the official big, big, big guns of this season, and we're already having to spend 10 minutes on, hey, let's be kind to people.
Yeah, can we not do this? Let's just, like, at the fandom in general, can we have nice things and not have to do this very many times this season? Like, maybe we could just have this be it.
Like, please, I would love to not have to start our comedy podcast with statements, and that's a capital S, statements.
Yeah, I thought we were maybe going to get a break from that for a little bit, because Rush is not here, but...
Anyway, so Skate Canada happened.
Skate Canada did happen. Do you want to start with women this time?
Let's do women, because that's equality.
That's equality. All right. So in third place with the bronze medal was Yoo Young of South Korea.
She sure was. She is one of those skaters that's like growing on me more and more as we go each season. I've had like a back and forth with her. I think both of her programs this season worked so well for her, but especially her short program, even though it's a Piazzolla that we've heard many, many times, I think hers in particular is very good. And the one thing I will say about it is when she was skating it, her little bun or whatever her hair was tied back in started to come undone, and she had just like hair in her face. And it was so goddamn dramatic. And it, like, really worked for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. First of all, I want to say that she came in fourth in the short and fourth in the free, but third overall because skating math is fake. It's insane to me.
This is, like, a peak example of, like, if you're trying to explain skating math to someone who's never seen skating math before, is like, well, you see, she was in fourth place all the time, but she got a medal because... other things were happening that were insane.
Yeah, because 4 + 4 = 3. No, but she deserved it. I'm not saying she didn't. I'm just saying bananas. No, I completely agree. That short program is my favorite program of hers that I've ever seen her do. I think my main issue with her, like, previous programs was that she was not giving me drama and expression and real, like, acting commitment to the skate. And I saw it, like, getting better last season, but this is, like, such a step forward for her. And she was giving, like, sass and drama and, like, I don't know. Even the cut of the dress, I was thinking how we were talking last week about the signature Korean style and how this is even, like, a departure from that. So as someone who didn't watch it live because I was traveling, the first I saw of this program was actually, like, an out-of-context clip of the step sequence on Twitter, and I genuinely had no idea that it was her. I went through, like, a million skaters in my head before I realized, oh my gosh, that's Young Yoo. Like, that's crazy.
It's crazy because we kind of mentioned a bunch of stuff about, like, the way this looks last week, because the dress is a Lissa McKinnon, and it looks it, which is also amazing. It's also, I was watching the short programs with my roommate as we were getting ready for Halloween, and he was saying how this dress looks like something I would have created in a lab, because there's several things I love in a dress, and it's like a very open sternum and an incredibly open back, and that dress is a fucking dream for that.
I can so vividly see, like, your costume design sketch of that. As somebody who studied costume design with you, I can see it in my head so clearly, like, your drawing of that dress and your style. So Lissa McKinnon, are you sure you designed it? Are you sure Netta didn't design it?
Lissa McKinnon fucking gets me, man. Also, something else that we've seen on, and I can't pull it off top of my head right now without visual references, but we've seen it on several people in the past couple of seasons, is doing, like, the little Piazzolla or, like, tango moment and doing the reference to the red and black, but it's not entirely that. I'm looking at Lissa McKinnon's post of this dress, and I'm here to tell you it's all fucking, like, dark, dark, dark burgundy going into the bright red, and it never goes fully into a black. And we've seen it with people doing, like, a purple and red, or, like, doing, like, a very dark, like, blue and red or something, and it's always
or so, like, Isabeau has like an orange and black situation, dark, like, blood orange.
It's so fucking interesting to me how we have, and I'm full disclosure, it's 1 a.m. in Bulgaria. I'm not about to go into like the semiotics of it, but it's so interesting to me how we can communicate the concept and the genre of the outfit without going into like the classic rendition of it is fucking fascinating to me.
Yeah, I was thinking this a lot about this dress and a lot about the free skate dress that Rika Kiyota wore. But in both cases, how going like almost black, but it's actually a color and it's just very deep. It reads like so much more expensive for some reason.
Yeah, it's just more rich. It's more like to the color store. It reminds me of, and this is such a dumb reference, but it reminds me of like in like manga or anime when they're trying to, when the artists want to communicate that someone has black hair, but because of line art, it works so much better when they have dark purple hair.
Yeah, or dark blue. Because yeah. Now I'm like, oh, I have like, when I had dark blue hair, I had anime character hair. Now I have like mostly brown with some turquoise because I need to get my life together. But
look, it's been a long year.
It's been a long life. I do want to say Young Yu's free skate music is kind of bananas.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, for anybody who's ever had the thought of, like, what if Vivaldi was sung by Hatsune Miku? Which, if you have had that thought, like, maybe seek help.
I will be honest, anytime I hear any music, I'm like, this is great. What if Hatsune Miku?
Well, there's, like, this whole genre of those, like, oh, like XYZ hertz magical frequency, like for calming chakra, like fake yoga, God. Fake whatever meditation, but also like Hatsune Miku is there and singing with it. And it kind of slaps. Like sometimes YouTube gives it to me and I'm like, oh, okay.
I honestly thank you for sharing this with us. That is very emotional and
it's
very
news
moving.
You can use. It's news you can use, but no, I think yeah, it was like sort of Vivaldi adjacent, but also there was like Vocaloid and I don't know. It was disjointed. I have to say though, like I loved the skating and I loved the dress. Like we're very like fashion heavy, but I feel like everyone's just looks good this week and this year so far. Like getting green and blue to look good together is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And like, no offense to the earth, but like, it's really difficult to pull off.
No offense to every globe ever, but like, wow.
But like, you wish you could be Young Yu.
I feel like we're also focusing so much on the looks because we all know that all of the programs are gonna grow in like technical and expression and all of that as the season goes on. But we're about to live with this fashion for the for most of people, unless someone like drastically changes something at some point. We're about to live with this fashion for the rest of the season. So I think it's good to like get it out of the way first so that then we can focus on the programs more as they develop.
No, totally. I feel like early season is always like, let's talk about the costumes, let's talk about the music, because we're just like, these programs are new to us.
Yeah,
it's
oh my
great.
God.
I mean, obviously, that's why we like the sport and not a sport with no music or costumes. Like baseball. No, they have costumes in baseball and music, actually. So never mind. Sorry, baseball.
Wow.
But
I feel like every sport can have costumes and music, but it's not always like the focal point.
That's true. Anything could have costumes and music if you try hard enough.
If you believe in your heart.
If you believe in your heart. Yeah, but no, I think that, I mean, I'm just really excited for her because, okay, yeah, like, it wasn't her best competition. There were some under rotations. There were just some little mistakes here and there that added up that kept her out of, like, a higher medal position. But, like, I kind of don't care about all that because, like you said, like, things are gonna get better and better as the season goes on. And what excites me is that she really feels like a new skater this season who's made some kind of major breakthrough in her performance. And so, like, that's what really excites me. Plus, like, we're talking – I mean, I don't want to make it sound like she did a bad job. Like, she literally – the triple axel was there. Was it a little under? Like, maybe. Was it a little, like, not her best one? Maybe. But, I mean, it's not like – you know,
it's
a triple
axel. It's crazy to me that we're getting, like, several triple axels from different people per event now. And we're like, well, it was a little under-rotated. I'm like, we're still at, like, under 20 women in the history of the sport having done this.
Yeah, it's wild. We've come a long way. So.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, but I'm thrilled. She's like, she's one of those skaters that I've had a journey with, and I think I'm back to like standing. So that's exciting to me personally.
Yeah, I think that the way I feel about all of, like, I think that I was thinking about this with myself too, because I also was sort of like, back 2 or 3 years ago, when it was all of a sudden like all these young teenage girls who had triple axels and quads, and it just felt like this massive sea of these young girls doing this stuff. And I sort of felt like, I don't want to get super attached or opinionated about any of them, because what I want to do is see who's still doing this in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And so now that we have some people such as Young Yoo still doing this 2, 3 years later and getting stronger and more mature in their skating, like, that now I'm starting to get really, like, fond.
Yeah, I think there is, for better or worse, I'm starting to kind of develop this habit of taking more time to get attached to people, because we've been watching this sport for a very, very long time, and it's just, so many people have had so many ups and downs in their careers that, I don't know, it just, I feel like an old jaded lover at this point, you know?
No, I get you. I get you. Yeah. And I feel like the people who, well, it's like, you know, once you enter a new Olympic cycle, the people who were kind of the newbies last time are now experienced and accomplished, and it makes you feel old. So it's, yeah, it's kind of sobering to like look at, you know, like Camden Pulkkinen and be like, oh, he's like, you know, one of the old standard male skaters on the circuit at this point.
How dare you? Yeah. This simultaneously reminds me of two things, which are kind of sidetracks, but just a little bit. The first one is that I know we're just entering the new Olympic cycle, but the World Championship in Artistic Gymnastics is happening right now. So people have been posting about, like, oh, so-and-so country's qualifying for the 2024 Paris Olympics, blah, 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 blah. And there's already, like, this excitement about the Summer Olympics. And despite, like, all of my burnout, the other day I caught myself, like, upset about, like, oh, my God, we have, like, so long to wait until it's the Olympics again. And I was, like, sad about it.
No, for real. For real. Like, I was very, like, we got so spoiled with 2 back-to-back Olympic years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, it sucks that it had to happen that way.
Yeah, of course, naturally.
You know, but 2 Olympics in a row is, I mean, I do wish the Olympics could happen every year, and I know it wouldn't be as special if it didn't, but, you know.
It's just, like, the excitement, like, watching, like, seeing people from gymnastics, like, getting so excited about getting their Olympic quotas and stuff. I'm like, this is one of the many things that gets me excited about sports, is like the reaching for things you've never done before. And it's just so exciting. And yeah, I know we're still going to get this with like everything we have in a regular season, but I had like a little bit of like jealousy towards like summer sports.
Yeah, they get to have everything so soon.
It's in 2 fucking years still. Or like a year and a half, I guess, at this point.
Well, speaking of reaching for new and exciting things, can we talk about Star Andrews, who is apparently the first African-American woman to win a Grand Prix medal in singles?
I'm overjoyed. I'm so proud of her. I feel like someone who knows her, I know I don't, but like I feel like a personal investment in this, because we've been standing for so long and we've known that she's capable of this for so long. And it just feels so fucking earned.
It does. It does. And, like, she just put out 2 completely undeniable performances. Mm. I still think the PCS at this competition was absolutely bananas for, like, kind
across
of everybody.
The board.
Across the board. Like, what are you doing? I truly have no idea what's going on in anyone's head. But, like, yeah, with Star, I was like, yeah, okay, give her a few more points. This is, you know, every time I see her PCS, I'm like, racist. But
every time.
Just 2 beautiful, beautiful programs, and like, yeah, just so, 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 so good to see her like finally get her flowers after working so hard and having so many seasons of like being so gorgeous, but never having everything in the right place at the right time.
I'm just fucking thrilled for her. It's so hard to get me on board with a Lara Fabian program, and she did, which is a feat in and of itself.
I think I like Lara Fabian. Is that a bad confession?
No, I think that's understandable. I think she's a very, very capable singer and everything. I just think it's one of those things where I vibe to Lara Fabian. Like, I would listen to a Lara Fabian in my personal time because we all know I love a ballad. But I think it's one of those things where if the skater is not capable of carrying the same intensity, it's like, you're telling me how to feel about this. Like, yeah. The music is so strong and so powerful in and of itself and, like, so, like, melodramatic that if the performance itself is not as big and emotive, I'm, like, I'm being told to feel emotions, which I'm always, like, resistant to. So I feel it's not a matter of, like, whether or not we like Lara Fabian. It's, like, can you match the high drama of it?
Yes, because it could be corny if you're not totally there. Yeah. But Star was. And I also loved the Demi Lovato short program.
Me too.
The like, devil costume pantsuit on Halloween weekend was serving. Oh, my God, I loved it.
Amazing.
And Star sold it. Like, oh, my gosh.
She sure did. I'm so thrilled for her. And I really, really hope this is, like, the start of an insane season for her because it's the only thing she deserves. I kind of wish, like, she was singing again this season, though. I miss
the singing. I kind of do, too, because she's got a beautiful voice. But what I will say is, like, this is why it drives me nuts, absolutely nuts, when people, commentators or fans or whoever, are like, oh, well, you know, you really, really can't compete unless you have these crazy, like, quads and triple axles and stuff. I'm like, Star Andrews is out here doing, like, a pretty, like, comparatively low difficulty technical program if you want to go by, like, this jump is worth more, this jump is harder. But, like, if you use your eyeballs and you watch, you're like, yeah, of course she deserved the silver medal.
God, of
like,
course, yeah.
There's something ineffable in there and there's something so unpredictable about it that you can never, ever, ever count out someone who has really wonderful fundamentals and works really hard and does what they do extremely well. Like, you just can't count that out.
We fucking love a performer with the good skating skills. In my fucking eye, I get excited when the big technical shit happens. Of course I do. But there's something just so undeniable about a person who just can fucking perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially at this event where it felt like so many people were just having so much trouble. Like, yeah.
So it is
good for Star. I'm so
fantastic
happy
for Star.
And she was so funny in the kiss and cry.
She's so charming. She just has, like, the humor and everything.
Yeah, just so shocked by her free skate score. Just immediately, like, generated 600 memes, gave us all the faces of surprise, all the stages of shock. And
oh, I love her so much.
I do want to say that friend of the pod, Jules, was at Skate Canada with her mom. And her mom, shout out to Laura. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Was apparently, and I hope that this is not too embarrassing, but did apparently misspeak and called the kiss and cry the stiff and cry. And now I will never call it anything else. It's the stiff and cry now.
The stiff and cry. Laura, you're a genius and you're so right. Well, I was going to say it's been a while since I've seen people kiss in the kiss and cry, but then I remembered Ice Dance exists, so that's actually a lie.
I hope we don't see anyone stiff in the stiff and cry.
Oh, God. Let's move on.
Let's move on to the winner of this event, Rinka Watanabe of Japan.
What a child. I'm so fond of her.
I love her. And, like, it's funny because she's just, like, she's just also, like, another one sauce long person because she's, like, 20. Like, she's not even little.
She's child.
I love her. I love her. And, like, again, I think I was sort of, because there's so many talented, like, female Japanese skaters, I think I was kind of, like, I can't get attached to all of them, but let's see who continues for a few seasons. And I remember feeling that way about Rinka. And now I'm like, oh, my God, like this is a really, really unique skater in a really, really deep field. Her edges, like, are you kidding me?
She's so special. And I think most people will focus on, like, the triple axels and whatever. She kept them upright in both programs. The free skate was fantastic. I don't think that's the most important thing about her skating at all.
No, I think she has, she's giving me, like, baby Satoko a little bit. Like, not exactly the same, right? But, like, so not exactly that same ineffable quality, right? But similar in that she has her own special quality that's very, like, floaty and regal. And I think, like, I could see it developing over the next few seasons into something extremely special. Yeah. I was, like, really confused about her short program. First of all, they took, like, 9 years to score it.
They did. That was so dramatic.
Like, I cannot even imagine. I just simply can't imagine, like, sitting there and being like, it's, I mean, how long was it? Like, literally, like, 20 minutes or something like that?
It was, like, 15 to 20 minutes, and... first of all, she was sixth in the short, and then she fucking climbed her way up with a fantastic free skate to fucking win it all.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
That is very, very challenging. And also, Mark, friend of the pod and fantastic commentator, Mark Henretti, was commentating on the ISU stream this weekend, and he was talking as well about how challenging that is for both the performer who's waiting to be scored and also for the person who's skating next, because usually you have like only a couple of minutes to like skate around and like get a feel for the ice and all of that. And then he was saying that like when something like that happens, the person who's skating next has to like figure out whether they should warm up a bunch or whether they should conserve their energy and like what the fuck is going on. So it's like this mind game for like everyone involved. And I just felt bad because I wasn't sure why it was happening this one time around, you know?
Yeah, it was very weird and bizarre, but like, yeah, no, she's quickly like new immediate favorite. Love her, love watching her skate.
Also, and said short program, I'm sorry to interrupt, I just gotta say, I was having like a huge short program weekend this time around. I was like really feeling everyone's shorts for some reason. We all know I always love a Moulin Rouge. I love a Moulin Rouge program more than I love the film, I think. Like, I don't...
Kind of same. I love really, the film, like, too, but...
I don't care about the film. I know that's bad. It's not, like, that's my not favorite bad. Of, like, by a long shot in terms of, like, movie musicals or anything. But I always get into it. And, again, I was watching with my roommate and he was laughing at me because in the intro to El Tango de Roxanne, when the, like... one big note happens, you know, the like part of it.
Yes, you did that so well. Oh my god,
thank you. I was getting in Halloween drag makeup as this was happening. I like tossed my shit down and like got up and like did like a hand gesture, and he was like, you're so into this. I was like, listen, this is like one of those moments. This is one of the moments of all time.
It's one of the most music.
It's so special.
It is, and I think that I obviously like. I think when Moulin Rouge was a bit of a newer film, like people were doing it left and right on ice.
Yeah,
I think it's a warhorse, but I think that the people who choose it choose well. Like it's hard for me to think of someone in the past, like 2, 3, 4 seasons, who has picked Moulin Rouge and really wasn't the right person to do it. Like, I think the dramatic babies know that this is for them, and other, like, okay, obviously there's like a million Tango de Roxannes, but most of them, I think, are finding the right people.
Yeah. God, I'm so sorry to do a thought exercise in the middle of this, but I just thought about this, and I feel like if I woke up tomorrow and I knew in my bones that I could skate to like a level where I have like triple triples and a good double axel, and I got to like go to Euros or something, and someone was like, you get to pick some music, I feel like just for the joke of it, I would want to do a Tango de Roxanne.
Yeah, you simply must, just to, you know.
Right?
Like, bucket I list, don't, right?
I would, like, have to think more about this if we're actually doing this as, like, a what would you do in this situation. But, like, my gut instinct is, like, put me in some sparkly black bullshit and let me do a tango, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, you gotta.
Do you have any instinctual, like, first thoughts about this? We can do this some other time, but if you have, like, a gut reaction.
Oh, I have a whole playlist. I have a whole playlist, and it's called Songs I Would Skate To If I Could Skate. And I think, I mean, I will open it now and see if there's any that are like the absolute, like extremely obvious. But
I have like a separate playlist of like shit I would like to skate. But I feel like Tango de Roxanne is, like, not particularly, like, my favorite, but I feel like if I woke up with a skill set, like, I would have to. Also, hi, if you're listening to this and you have like your gut reaction, we are at IcedTPod on Twitter. And please write this second before you even finish this episode. Tell me what your dream programs would be if you woke up with randomly like the skill set to just be good enough to show up.
I think I would skate to Hozier, probably. Like, I would do a Hozier medley because I'm a Pisces.
That is so sexy of you.
Yeah. And then I would do, you know what? I would skate to, like, Mitski or something.
You just want to be cool and sexy.
Yeah. That's, like, the thesis statement of my life.
Let's do honorable mentions.
Let's do it. Honorable mentions. Okay, so honorable mention to Ava Marie Ziegler, who came in fourth and, like, really, really
what a
admirably
girl.
Handled that crazy 20-minute wait.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be, like, 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely, yeah. And then went out and did, like, a really amazing short program.
I keep mentioning my roommate, but I was watching again with him and he was so confused about why I knew this music. And I kept being like, yeah, and he was like, how do you know this? And I was like, you don't understand. This is Brady Tunnell 2018.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. He was like, literally like, what does that mean? And I was like, you don't need to worry about it.
The song is called Yaha, if you didn't know. It's not, but it is. And I was like, it's interesting to me to skate to Yaha dressed as like Barbie Princess Nutcracker, because to me it's forever Brady Tunnell dystopian heroine. But
that's what I call epic music 2022.
I mean, literally. But yeah, no, she did a beautiful job. And I think she's kind of like, she's only 16. She's like kind of a newcomer on the Grand Prix circuit. I think that she, you know, has a long way to go, but like has a lot of exciting promise already. And, you know, the U.S. team is, you know, I'm not like one of those people that's like, oh, it's in shambles because everyone retired. But like, obviously, we're at a transition moment, even though we do still have some amazing stars.
But I think it's a very exciting transition moment because you have so many people who are like coming out of juniors and like already performing to this level. And then you have people who are still from like, quote unquote, the older guard. And they're all so fucking exciting.
Yeah, totally. And I think that like Ava is just sort of adding herself into the ranks of like the Isabeaus and the, you know, just being up and coming and exciting. So
I'm thrilled for her.
The Isabeau. No, Isabeaus.
Isabeau. The Isabeys? I don't fucking know.
Isabeau, but with an X.
Yes, the Isabeaus. It's a visual gag. Hey, shout out to Rika fucking Kihara, who's back.
She's back and she's beautiful and she's with Brian Orser, who told her to skate from her heart, and she did.
And we all wept. Go for it.
I was going to say her free skate dress is like so, 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 so special. Okay. It's like light teal to black ombre. And it reminded me so specifically of like the SeaWorld wetsuits from the 90s when everybody was really into orca whales because of Free Willy, and we didn't know yet that that was like a whole fucking horror show. I loved that color combo growing up because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be like a whale scientist and work at SeaWorld and stuff. Luckily for my life expectancy, I did not do that. But I love that color combo. And I was like, this is so amazing. She looks like the icy depths of the water that ate Jack in Titanic.
Wow.
That's an interesting take, to skate as the water. A lot of people would skate as the iceberg or the boat or Rose. To skate as
or
the
a person
water, the
going
villain.
Through the iceberg.
Yeah, but to skate as the water is the true villain. The water took the boyfriend, took the necklace. I'm just
that
saying.
Is so fucking funny to me. I just wanted to say that I'm excited for the dialogue around her to move on from like, oh, she's recovering from injury. Oh, she's not at her best technically, blah, 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 blah. Because she continues to be one of the most expressive skaters that we have out there. And I'm just excited to have that be the center of things.
Yeah, it feels good to have her back, honestly. Like, just talk about, you know, skaters who've been here for a little while and just feel like staples, and then they're not there and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I felt a little emotional seeing her. Like, I think I tweeted about it, but I saw her take center ice at her short program and I just started weeping. Like, before she even started skating, I was like, ah! So that's good for my personal emotional capabilities this season.
Yes, it bodes well. Yeah. I want to shout out Madeline Skeezus, hometown girl from Canada. And Canada, which is also how some people pronounce your name.
Yep.
She did such a wonderful job in the short. She did this iconic black swan and came in first in the short. It was so perfect because she has such a good, like creepy, scary intensity, drama, angry face.
I think this is my favorite black swan.
Yeah, it is. It might be mine, too. Like, she just gets it. And also, she, like, looks like Mila Kunis. And then I was like, what other Mila Kunis movies could she skate to?
My favorite movie of all time, Friends with Benefits.
How do she you do that? Just I was going to say, like, in, like, just, like, a white Oxford shirt. Like, isn't that what
And then there is the whole, like, plot point of it is the song Closing Time. So she could just skate to the song Closing Time. I don't know how that would be, like, as dramatic. But I appreciate it. I love Mila Kunis. She's Slavic as shit. She's Ukrainian, and I adore her, so I have to stan.
Yeah, that was a perfect program for Maddie. I thought even though there were problems with the free, I actually also really like her doing West Side Story. I think the dress is gorgeous. I think the energy this time around was unhinged because she was clearly upset that she was doing kind of poorly, but also still trying to sell like happy party America dance break shimmying. So that combination obviously was not like the best for facial expressions reading, you know.
She was also
genuine,
having a tough time with like a technical thing on the ice, which I feel bad because I feel like we should apologize. Because last week we talked about having
flowers. I spoke it into existence.
Flowers.
I know. I thought the same thing. I was like, damn, it's my fault.
Yeah, so like,
the monkey's paw curled.
Yeah, I don't know how, but I feel like we're responsible for this and I just want to apologize.
Yeah, and for those of you who are, you know, not aware, last week we were saying how I wish that they would throw real flowers instead of plushy ones. And then there were a lot of real flowers being thrown at Skate Canada. But one of the issues is that they were kind of coming apart in the air. And although the sweepers did a really admirable job trying to get all the little bits, one of those little like vials of water that you stick on the end of like a single rose, I guess, flew off and was on the ice. And it wasn't clear whether like she had an issue with it or not. And it was and if that was responsible for anything in her skate or whether she was just like being a good Samaritan and picking it up. But either way, like, I feel bad. Now I'm like, yeah, bring back the plushy roses. If that's better for the skaters, I will sacrifice my enjoyment of a real rose in the kiss and cry.
Yeah. So apologies to Maddie for divining this into existence. What else happened? Johanna
Gabby
Yuko
Dalman
continues to be fucking iconic. Gabby Dalman continues to be... Well, Gabby Dalman is back. Like,
she is
second in the short.
She had a really, really, really spectacular short program. It was the kind of thing we've been wanting to see from her for years and years and years. And she was so happy. And then the free didn't quite go as well. I will say it wasn't as disastrous as programs we have seen from her recently. Like, as bad skates go, it wasn't like – it was just like some misjumps and some falls. It wasn't like misjumps and falls and then like weird stumbles and then the spin comes apart. Like, she kept it together till the end.
Correct. So I think it's a good start, and I think her confidence will benefit from the short program, definitely.
And it also brought me my favorite Mark Kenready moment of the weekend, which was him saying, you can hear her saying it sucks.
Mark, if you're listening, tell us how you feel about Megan's Mark impression.
It's really bad, and I'm really sorry about it, Mark, but...
I wouldn't even dare try because I'm not good at accents, but God, I love the man.
Yep. And Johanna Yokoi's hair like bauble crown situation, like, I don't, it was one of those short programs that was so like watered down appropriative that I didn't even know what it was trying to be, so it came back around to being fun. It was like, what if we combined
the Luna Hendrix school of just watering it down?
Yeah, the Luna Hendrix school of like Thai plus Indian equals Brazilian. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, God. It shouldn't be funny, but it is.
Yeah, like, it just, it was very opulent, whatever it was, and I enjoyed the over-the-top, tacky beauty of it all.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for her. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break. Hello and welcome to the break. Jinx.
This is the break. This is where we let you know that you being here and listening and supporting us is what helps us going. Megan, what are some ways people can support the creation and existence of this little show?
Well, if you want to support us for free, you can leave us a nice review on your podcasting platform of choice and or give us 5 stars. You can tell your friends about us on social media or whatever thing you're using now that we're all apparently leaving Twitter. I don't know. Let us know if we figure it out. Mastodon, or if you go back to Tumblr, just tell someone on a street corner. I don't know. But spread the word. And if you want to give us a tiny bit of money in exchange for lots of bonus content, you can go over to patreon.com/icedteapod, where we put up a monthly bonus episode. We are running a tiny bit late on this month's episode because Netta, as they mentioned, is sick, but we are getting that up as soon as possible. It is obviously a very crazy time of year, but yes, we will be getting that bonus episode to you very soon, and you have like over 3 years of other ones to listen to in the meantime.
So much stuff. I just want to real quick also say that a bunch of y'all have been so excited that we're back and have been tweeting about it. And that makes us very, very happy. And just continue being, I mean, as positive as you'd like to be. But it just makes me happy personally to see people be excited that there's a new episode on their feeds, and it's very motivating. So thank you very much.
No, seriously, because like I think I always assume that if we disappear for like more than a few days, like
people no object permanence.
I was literally gonna say, like, yeah, it's like because I can't see any of the listeners, and I couldn't. Yeah. I'm not good at visualizing things anyway, so visualizing how many or whatever is just really hard, and so for me to then like realize that they didn't all go away because we disappeared for a few months is amazing. So thank
it's
you
just
for
very
everybody.
Kind, and thank you very much. We'll talk about our socials and stuff at the end of this. Now we're going to talk about boys.
It's boys.
Boys. And boys was, of course, boys was a fucking men's event.
Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. Happy Halloween.
Oh, at this point, I feel like the only thing that would surprise me at a men's event is if it just goes straightforward and things go exactly as predicted and nothing is confusing ever.
I wouldn't even know what that would look like at this point. It's just insane. And it's fun because, like, you have, I mean, I think that the main, you know, who's going to come out on top race was between Shoma and Cao, and we will get to them in a minute. But in third place, we have
Matteo Rizzo of Italy, who brought Måneskin back.
I was so thrilled. I completely forgot that was the costume for that program. So he skated out, and I was like, are we doing a Zorro? Zorro's having a big moment this season, but no.
He is. What is up with that? Side note, why Zorro? Why?
Because it's, like, vaguely Spanish adjacent. It's, like, that, Piazzolla, and also Titanic for some reason, which is not...
yes, my favorite tango. The Titanic soundtrack.
Tango to Titanic, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but Matteo brought the most Italian program of all time, the Måneskin, which just goes so incredibly hard, and I was thrilled to see it again.
And then also he like kept up the Italianness by having the free skate be some kind of very bizarre like Eurotrash remix of Bruno Mars in a very expensive looking like wallpaper silk shirt moment. Like, I was so here for it. I am obsessed with that shirt. It was giving
even know
like
how to respond to this.
It was giving, like, Keiji Tanaka, hip, hip, chin, chin, like, weird, I don't know what I'm looking at, but I love it.
Yeah, it was very opulent and very fancy in an Italian sort of way, and I just respect all of it so much. I'm thrilled for him. It feels good and correct to see him.
Fancy in an Italian way. The quad loops are looking so good.
Just so sharp. It's, again, I know I keep saying this, but it's so early in the season and people are already bringing in so much technicality. It's fucking thrilling.
Also, like, it's actually really funny that I was like, oh, it's giving, like, it's giving KG hip hip tension. It's Massimo Scali.
Yeah. Well, there it
and
is.
And the shirts, but yeah.
And the shirts, but we don't know who made the shirt, so if y'all know, let us know.
Yeah. It was Massimo himself sewing in his basement. No, I don't know.
I would love to see that. Let's start a rumor that that's what's happening.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
We need more benign rumors in this sport right now.
Just like very chill, low stakes bullshit.
Just like not even really juicy gossip, just like incorrect things that aren't true.
Fucking, oh my god, my Massimo Scali loves sewing. Like that's the joke. That's the whole thing is.
Yeah.
He has a side hobby.
God forbid a man have a hobby.
Oh no. Someone recently was mad at me for having a lot of hobbies and I was like, find joy in your life, maybe?
What are you, neurotypical? Like, okay.
I do not want to have a single second with my own thoughts.
Yeah, forget that, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, congratulations to Matteo. And in second place, we have Kao Miura.
Who's having such a time at this Grand Prix circuit.
He really is. You know, he came up. What was that? You know?
Yeah,
he came around and just really skated real great. I've been possessed by, I don't even know.
A commentator from the 50s?
Yeah, I think I just had a past life regression on air. No, Kao Miura was great. And I think, like, he's still skating, like, it's a tiny bit junior for me, but not that junior. Like, I think if he was skating in the junior age group, I would say, like, he is far and away the best. And then you put him next to the seniors, and it's like, okay, this is his first senior season. It's giving first senior season.
It is, but I'm not mad at it.
No.
Also, the way things are going, we're probably going to see him in the final. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think it's going to be, I think it would be really tough to get bumped out of the final with two silvers under your belt at this point.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody with two silvers who's gotten bumped out of the final maybe when Yuzu and Nathan were both in it, but they're not, so.
But also, again, it's fucking men's figure skating, so truly anything could fucking happen.
That's true, yeah, it could.
But at this point, he's done very good. It's crazy to think that he's done with, aside from, like, potentially the final, he's done with his first Grand Prix season.
I know, it's reminding me of, like, if you ever had a semester in, like, high school or college where all your finals were just right at the beginning, and then you were just oh, all my friends are still studying and I'm free to go. This
just
is,
like,
great.
Fucking done. Crazy. But amazing for him. Like, this has been such a fucking, like, Grand Prix debut for him. Fucking undeniable. Like, I think, like, Mariah Nagasu made, like, a video about him.
She made, like, a fan cam. I'm sorry, like, if Mariah Nagasu is making a fan cam of you, like, you're doing it right. You are,
like,
doing
congrats.
Life right.
I know I'm, like, bumping into social media corner, but, like, congrats.
No, for real. And, like, I just think that it's so wonderful when somebody unexpected and maybe, okay, whatever. Like, if I was really sitting down and, like, cooking the books and reviewing every possible ounce of footage ever, maybe I would have expected this to happen. But, you know, as somebody who is just sort of hasn't been paying that close attention to skating over the summer, it was unexpected for me to have a newcomer come in and do this well. Like, I love it when somebody new just pops up and sweeps in the Grand Prix, because that's what keeps it exciting.
I have been trying to explain to people who don't, like, follow the sport how fucking exciting this Grand Prix season is, because there are so many variables that we can't be sure about. And I know that there is something to missing, like, the certainty of the people you know are going to show up and do well and all of that. But it's so exciting. It's so exciting to not completely know. It's like reigniting something in me that I... It feels different than, like, the Olympic season, where you're looking for, like, how does this look and what does it mean for the Olympics? And it's different from, like, the past couple of seasons where it's, like, how does this look for the final that we kind of know how it's gonna go. It's just like so fresh.
Yeah, I think each of the 4 years in the Olympic quad like cycle has its own flavor. And that's why the sport doesn't get old, is because we're always rotating through. And so by the time we get back to the Olympics, we'll be ready. But right now it's like we're done with like the high stakes, high stress people at the peak of their careers, Olympics moment. And we're ready for like some freshness. And yeah, it's just great. And
thrilling.
Somebody asked me over the weekend at a party, like, because, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but like this probably happens to you listeners, as people who are into figure skating. Like, you go to a party and people are like, oh, you like figure skating? Like, let's make conversation. I don't know you that well. Like, do you have like skaters that you think are really good that you like? Somebody asked me this and I was like,
oh, wow.
Yes, all of them. Like, literally, I think at this point in the sport, I don't know if I could name someone I don't like.
Same. It would be in the current competitive circuit on the Grand Prix. I would be hard pressed. There's people who are yet to win me over, and there's people who are not like my blurbos from my shows, but across the board, I think I'm like just like on board to watch it happen, you know?
No, it's so true. I really don't think that there's anybody competing in this Grand Prix circuit. I mean, you know, prove me wrong at the next 4 events, people, but like, I don't think there's anybody that I'm just like, ugh, why are they here? I hate them.
Also, like, unless it comes out, it's one of them is a garbage person. But, like, assuming all of them are just, like, normal people, yeah.
No, for sure. And speaking of normal people. I don't know if this is a normal person, but Shoma Uno, who won gold at Skate Canada, who is the world champion. I feel like if you're a world champion, you're not a normal person. Shoma's not like other girls. He's the world champion.
Oh, God. It's so funny to me because I feel like with Worlds and everything last year, we were like, this is the perfect, like, closing chapter of this, like, insane fucking tangent that he's had. We were like, I know he wasn't, like, considered to retire or anything like that, but we were, like, so sure that it was, like, the closing of a thing. And then he shows up and he's like, nah, and just, like, does this.
Yeah. Oh,
charming to me. He's like, no, we're just gonna keep going and we're gonna keep building on this momentum. And I respect it so fucking hard.
Yeah, you know, I am always extremely reluctant to draw parallels between real life and Yuri on Ice because I think it's most people who do it are doing it in like a really annoying way. And a way that implicates like real life people doing things that are like not appropriate in real life but are appropriate in anime. Anyway, what I will say is that I don't think... Like, I think if they want to beat the allegations, then Shoma shouldn't, like, jog around the stadium with his earbuds and his little JSF jacket. Like, you know, it's a little too perfect.
God.
Yeah, no. But joking aside, no. I mean, you love to see it.
I don't know how I feel about John Mayer.
I don't like John Mayer. I think we've talked about on this show that I had my first kiss to a John Mayer song.
We
not this one, because I am not like 20. But no, I do think that like Gravity Stay the Hell Away from Me is a great choice for a skating program because that's sort of the crux of it, right?
It's better than all of these songs about like falling and like if I just lay here and all of that.
Yeah, like he knew not to tempt fate, right? But I think it's tough because, yeah, like, I don't like John Mayer, but, like, I think that he's bringing something to it that is almost, like, it's a Stefan program and John Mayer is just there.
It's such a Stefan program. It simply gives so much Don't Stop the Music.
Yes.
It makes me feel something just because of that parallel. It's also just, I know we've said this a billion times, I'm going to keep saying it. It's fucking insane to me how everyone who skated with Stefan and under his guidance, like, you can see that in the quality of their performance, like, every time.
It's so true, though. And, like, the longer Shoma spends with Stefan at Champéry, the more beautiful his skating is becoming. And, like, you don't think it can get better than it does, so.
I simply love to see it. I'm thrilled for him. I'm excited that apparently the Shoma Uno biopic is not over. And I feel at this point, I saw a tweet. Oh, God. Apparently, somewhere in his commentary, Mark was like, it just like makes you feel like so secure and calm to watch him skate. And someone on Twitter was like, bestie Shoma Uno. So yeah, have you ever seen him? He's like the most chaotic person.
And it's, I know, true. And I also want to shout out.
We're out of the like big woods.
Yeah, I do want to shout out Kenji Miyamoto as well, who does his choreography as in addition to Stefan, and does a really beautiful job. I think, like, you know, like Shoma just gets Baroque music, like he just gets it. And so to give him a nice air on the G string, like pause for jokes, ha ha ha. Fantastic. Like he gets it. He's bringing he's bringing Baroque realness.
Baroque realness. That sounds like a terrible like mid-season RuPaul's Drag Race challenge.
Oh God, right? And they're all like,
category is Baroque realness.
Category is hottest bitch at the minuet.
Honorable mentions. Hottest bitches at the minuet.
Keegan Messing.
Keegan Messing. Local father of soon to be two, Keegan Messing. In his final competitive season.
A fetus reveal in the stiff and cry. Like, innovative.
Unheard
king.
Of.
Innovative I, king.
So much about, I think every time Keegan takes the ice this season, I'm just going to be crying about it. And that's fine.
I think I thought you were going to say every time he takes the ice, his wife should, he should reveal a new baby that his wife
oh,
is
God,
pregnant
no.
with.
No, no, no. I respect his wife and her poor body. No.
Yeah. No, it's and it was so cute because he was trying, apparently he was trying to get her to bring Wyatt down to the ice after the free skate. And
the fact that Wyatt is a whole human being at this point is
oh yeah,
fucking insane.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard that in the arena, like whenever anybody claps, people were saying he was like Dada, which is really cute.
I love him.
Yeah, so just like darling, and yeah, no.
Also, Grace Kelly is fucking perfect for him.
Yeah, but it's so weird because it's so perfect, but I never in a million years would have like selected that. But it's genius.
I respect it.
Oh yeah. I mean, and again, like I think when we were like, oh, what Eurovision songs do people do? I mean, Mika was right there.
Apparently.
The true winner of this year's Eurovision, Mika.
God, yeah. Yeah, Mika did so much. This year's your for a second I was like, was that this year? It's been a long year, y'all.
It's been a long year, but yeah, it's Keegan's final season, and as much as I'm like,
not ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready, but you know, and it apparently also I thought he hit his head in the short program, and I was very concerned on Twitter, but apparently it didn't look like that in person. Like my friends who were there were saying it didn't look like that, and it just looked worse than it was from the camera angle. So rest assured, yeah, he's just a floppy man.
At all times. And I'm gonna miss him, but not yet. The season's not done. I'll eulogize later.
Yeah, we have lots of time. It's the Grand Prix season isn't even done. Yeah. We have to shout out Camden, who is forever a friend of the pod. And I also heard that so Nam, another friend of the pod, was there as well.
All our friends.
He was doing like crowd hype up stuff, like we were talking about how like skate
he was doing camera work.
Yeah, like Skate America has like Ryan Skate Crest and Skate Canada has Nam, who apparently was really fun and everybody loved him and were just like cheering their heads off. But he was there. He was hanging out with Keegan's family and watching Wyatt and being a proud uncle. And also apparently he and Camden are like, you know, seen talking to each other, buddy, buddy. Like, if we want to be like, oh, so-and-so is seen talking to so-and-so. It seems like they are friends. And I was, and the person told this to me, and I was like, yeah, it's because they're brothers because they were both on this show, which makes you automatically
you
related somehow.
There you have it. They're on the same Discord server.
That's true. They are in like the weird Discord server with.
Yeah, come be on our show and you get to be on the weirdest Discord server on earth.
It just keeps growing. Yeah, no, but Camden did a beautiful job. And, like, if it wasn't his very best ever, like, I just, God, people need to watch out for him. And I keep saying this. They need to watch out.
I'll keep saying it. And I'll keep saying it.
Yes.
So many friends of the pod. I just want to say Jimmy Ma was there.
Jimmy Ma was there. And he got robbed.
The reason this show exists.
Kind of, yes. Jimmy Ma got robbed for PCS. I was like, okay, so here's what I want to say about the men. The men's, I think it was the short or the free? It was the free. I couldn't make heads or tails of the PCS, particularly in like the first half of the men's free, because Jimmy Ma went and skated like lights out, like, okay, whatever, maybe it's not his best technical skate or whatever, but like he's a showman. Like, you can't deny that. Like, everybody knows that. And then Lucas Brichke got a higher PCS than him, and no shade to Lucas Brichke because, you know, sun's out, guns out, like, we appreciate that and is a lovely skater, but I wasn't really sure why he got higher PCS than Jimmy Ma and Denis Vasiliev's, who is like a literal prince. I don't know.
This is not controversial. I feel like, again, talking about like skating quality versus like technical, blah, 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 the shit we talk about all the time. I feel like Denis should be reasonably one of the highest scoring PCS performers on the circuit, period.
Like, in the same way that I feel like judges eventually had to recognize that Jason Brown was like a consummate star of this sport throughout history, one of the skaters of all time, literally, and give him every point possible, even though he didn't have a quad. Like, I'm like, when is it Denis's turn to reach that status? Because I think that if he's not there right now, which I think he is, but like he definitely will be soon. Like, when will the judges sort of induct him into that club of like, okay, we are going
to
give him
points? We have to recognize this.
Yeah, you have to recognize that the quality of skating is just like next level.
It is so fucking funny to me that it seems that the recurring theme of this season so far, two episodes in, is Rose's turn. And somebody tell me, when is it Denis's turn?
Okay, but now I want to see Denis Vasiliev's in the show doing Rose's turn.
This is every episode we're going to pick one of the people who are at the event to do Rose's turn.
Also, it occurs to me that because the name of that show is a slur, like, we should just rename it Denis. Like, wouldn't that be fun to just have a musical called Denis?
It's like Annie or something. What are you going to see? Denis?
Denis.
I'm seeing the show Denis?
Yes. And it's a similar length word. It would fit on the marquee. Like, I say go for it.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing. And the main character's name is Denis Rose.
Oh, yeah. Denis Rose Lee.
Denis
My Rose name Lee. Is Denis Rose Lee. What's yours?
And if it wasn't for me, mix Denis Rose Lee.
I'm going to name my firstborn child Denis Rose Lee, regardless of gender.
It is very genderless, I feel like. If someone else who doesn't have as much of a, who's not trying to cultivate as much of a recognizable thing on Twitter, if someone changes their display name to Mix Denis Rose Lee, I will personally Venmo you like $10 human.
There you go. Easy money. Easy money.
Easy money. And that concludes, I think, our coverage of, like, the official shit that happened at Skate Canada. I don't really have a lot of plushy corner.
Because
I was mostly concerned
about
the roses.
Yeah, most people did get a Denis Rose. And it's, you know, I did write, like, oh, you know, a real rose this time. And then...
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me your top, like, three? Top five?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, let's do it. So Jimmy Ma got something that looked like a soft turnip. Not sure about that.
Jimmy, if you're listening, let us know what the fuck.
He also received a hedgehog, which is beautiful.
Good.
Camden got Stitch. Aww. Rinka got two rats. And of varying sizes. There was a regular size rat and then a big mama rat.
Oh, they can be friends. They can take care of each other now.
Yeah, there were some like Halloween things. Maddie got something in a witch's hat that I think might have been an owl. Somebody
that was
got,
like, the one thing I took note of was the
Halloween she also
shit.
Got a yeah she also got like a devil bear Halloween situation. Yes. Devil bear sounds horrible. It sounds like the annihilation
sounds
bear,
like
but
a,
it was
it
a teddy
like
bear
a
with devil horns.
Halloween.
Devil bear. And Ava Marie got a mummy, which was so cute.
I just think we should keep the spooky shit like year round.
Totally. And Lindsay Van Zundert got a Lotsa Huggins bear from Toy Story, which is kind of creepy, not in a Halloween way, but in a like sinister all year round way. If you've seen the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have something I want to bring up, which I'm not here to shame anybody. Okay. But I just want to say Lindsay Thorngren's like personal plushie friend that she owns that is like, is it a tissue case? Is it a luck charm? I'm not sure. It looks very like capital F furry. Do you know what I mean? It's in that art style. It looks like kind of like a wolf dog cartoonish.
Well, now I do. Fuck.
Yeah, but you know that art style?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about it.
I don't know if that's on purpose or not. And if it is, like, more power to you. Like, furries are a force for good on the internet. So, you know, whatever. But I just noticed that and I was like, oh, interesting. So that jumped out at me. And finally, actually not finally, I have two more. One, okay. Yuhana Yokoi got an angry red duck situation, and I feel like I've seen it before, but I can't figure out if it's a Pokemon or a town mascot situation like Yakapi. So if you guys know, let us know what that red duck is. I know I've seen it. It's like a Japanese cartoon character, but I can't remember from what. So let us know what that is. And finally, Young Yu got a handful of cats, a lamb, and something. I couldn't tell what it was. It was like a donut gingerbread man situation.
There's, like, that whole series of plushies that are all, like, foods and stuff, and all of them look fucking adorable, and I feel like we should make them more of a trend. I'm not sure if this one was one of them, because I couldn't get a good look at it, but there's, like, this whole line of plushies that are, like, croissants and, like, avocado toast and shit, and they're also fucking cute.
So they are extremely cute.
Like, more of this, please.
And I think the true star of Plushie Corner, like no pun intended, was the purple and pink bear that Star got.
Yes.
Who was, first of all, she was like playing with it. She had her like, first of all, her nails looked gorgeous and were like highlighted as she was like fluffing up the bow on the bear. It was like a moment. Aww. And then she was hugging it. And then she got her scores. And so all of the moments of like the various shocked faces also include this really fluffy, wonderful purple bear. So that bear was also
a star.
Which
is figure skating. That is figure skating.
That is it. That is it.
I wanted to share something with you real quick, which is not about a figure skater, but it is about plushies. A theater creator that I follow on the internet, who's not important in this case, so I'm not going to name them. They posted, because they're also like a chronically ill creator and they post about like chronic illness and whatnot. They posted about this tissue case that they got, which is a plushie. And we're used to, like, a plushy, like, tissue holder. But this one, the shape of it is that the tissues come out of the mouth of it. And I don't think I've seen that before.
Oh, my God.
And it is, I don't know how I feel about it, but it is eldritch.
What?
And it's something.
What kind of animal is it?
I don't know. Something like blue. I think it's a bear, but it's, like, it's unnatural colors and there's tissues coming out of its mouth and I don't know how to feel about it.
For me, it would heavily depend on the animal. Like if
I'll send you a screenshot of it. I'm not gonna dox this person, but I'll send you a screenshot of it.
I want it. I'm thinking like off the top of my head, I want it to be like an alligator or something with like infamously like infamously jaw-centric animal.
A toothy maw, if you will.
Yeah, something, give me the toothiest maw for this particular for this particular contraption. I don't have anything for social media corner. Oh, can you? Thank God. Save the day.
Talk to me. It's one thing. And it is Jason Brown posting a beautiful picture of himself and saying, I'm not quite finished yet. See you at US Champs.
Oh my God. How could I forget?
I woke up to this and it was like a needle of adrenaline to my brain. Like, I knew he wasn't done, but the thing is, there's, like, a little bit of a narrative to it because Brian Mercer posted, like, a little, like, practice photo, and it was, like, Junhwan and Jason, and I can't remember who else, but it's, like, a little, like, oh my God, like, practice. And his, like, caption was, like, boys are back in town, and I was, like, is Jason at, like, regular practice?
Is Jason and, like, boys?
Is Jason boys? Not clickbait? And then, like, 12 hours later, he was like, I'm not quite finished. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're not.
Yeah, because we've been hearing rumors circulating from him talking to Jackie Wong and, like,
about, like, his axles and shit. And I'm like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, like,
and
don't.
And one of our listeners was like, I want to find who it was. And I'm sorry if you don't want to be shouted out. But our listener, Rebecca, on Twitter was like, and I quote, I hope his short and his long programs are just versions of Sinner Man. Legendary.
Yeah.
I agree. But the other thing is, first of all, I would love him to just redo Sinner Man and Schindler. But also, like, if we get two new Jason Brown programs, I'm not sure if I could survive that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No, I can't. I mean, I can, but I'm not sure if you're going to have to audition a co-host, I think.
Yeah, well, let's see. Either way, it's going to be incredible, and I can't happen. Wait.
It's January is just around the corner. But before that, I think this officially concludes Skate Canada and our coverage. And at time of recording, the Grand Prix, which has changed its name again, it's now Grand Prix de France. It's no longer the Internationale de France.
That kind of makes sense because it's soon. It was giving like Israeli Defense Force for a while, and it was confusing.
It was always the one, you know, the meme of the person who's like, sorry, I couldn't like do like Taylor Swift updates. I refused to join the IDF.
Yeah.
it was always giving that. So it's now again the Grand Prix de France. And it is starting so soon. So we're going to be covering some of that live, and then we're going to be talking about it. But the Grand Prix keeps coming, and it won't stop coming. And yes.
You head to the France, and you hit the ground running.
Oh.
Smash Mouth. I don't know.
You're an all-star. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Yes.
I will say just real quick before the Grand Prix de France happens, this is one of the events where I'm looking at who's going to be there, and you could not pay me to make predictions. Truly anything goes, and I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. I know Jackie Wong predicted that Adam Siahomvaa is going to win for the men, and I'm like, good Lord, I would love to see that.
I'm like, from your lips to God's fucking ears, I would love to see it, but
I love that funky
we'll
little French nerd. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But in the meantime, Megan, if people want to hear you react to any of this shit, where are you on the internet?
I am at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter, as long as it doesn't completely explode. But, you know, yep. As of time of recording, sure. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much where I hang out. How about you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie on Twitter and Instagram. And that's N-E-D-A and then just Marie until, you know, we have to pay $20 for it or something. And you can find both of us until the end of the world at Iced Tea Pod on Twitter and also patreon.com/IcedTeaPod for extra stuff and to help us keep the lights on and build this home and all of that. And thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, there are people who already are on that list of folks who help us keep the lights on, and I'm going to shout them out right now.
Oh my God, give me all of them. I want to do my dance.
Rhea, Elizabeth, Zoe, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandoline Arts, Lily Putz, Robin is Trans and Tired, A Different Robin, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Linnea, Elena, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Fox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Barbara, Sunny, A Different Barbara, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. You keep the show on the road. You make me dance every time I hear your names. And truly just very grateful to y'all and to everyone who's listening. We wouldn't have a reason to do this if you weren't out there to receive it. We're very grateful.
So grateful. Seriously.
Hashtag
so thank you so much.
Blessed.
Hashtag blessed and grateful.
And we'll see you in France, y'all.
Yes, we will. Bye-bye.